Welcome to our show, Geeks Wired Podcast, where we're talking about video games, movies, TV, comic books, technology, and TLDR, the Internet of Things.
Things. I tried to sync up with
you. Things of the Internet stuff. This week we have Ted.
Well, that's true. I am on the podcast this week.
Yeah. Welcome.
Hi. Thanks.
It's good to be here.
Yeah, I haven't been here a lot lately. I've been busy.
My life. All that.
I'm sure you guys really missed me.
Last week was my first comeback week too, for like a month.
Don't call it a comeback. I've always been here.
And we have Anna.
Yes, I'm here. Yeah. Who else do we have?
We have Joe.
Hello.
Anna didn't really want to talk about herself.
Yeah.
Just like, move it along. Keep it going.
Yep.
Move it along.
And Alex.
Hey, guys.
And who?
Bill.
Bill.
Just a Bill.
But not on Capitol Hill, Justin.
That's right.
No. In the Midwest.
It's like definitely not Will going with Bill.
Yes.
Have you ever gone by Will?
Will, I'm not. Call me Bill.
Maybe I think I did for like half a year.
Way didn't long. Take.
Eh.
Ooh, how about Willie?
Willie.
Had a friend who went by Willie.
Well, I think I'm going to start calling you Willie.
Yeah.
The wiser.
If I remember to answer. Apparently, Willie is like the more common nickname, the most common nickname for William, then followed by Liam.
That is weird. I never see that.
Technically, Liam makes more sense than Bill.
Wait, so Liam is actually named William?
Well, it's the last part of William.
Liam Neeson?
I don't know if Liam Neeson is William Neeson, but...
I know somebody who's Liam, and it's just Liam. It's not short for anything. I thought it was its own name.
And there is, like, people could still be named Will or Bill or all that.
Yeah, that is weird.
If you'd like to find out whether or not Liam Neeson is...
Really?
Really William, turn up your speakers. Okay, Google.
I know.
Is his name William Neeson or just Liam Neeson?
It looks like it's just Liam.
He was born... Liam John Neeson.
Yeah, there you go.
LJN.
Mm-hmm.
That should be a question on the Red Robin tablet. Do you put your credit card in? <Yeah.
too? laughs> No, or is that the pre-question that gets you interested to use your credit card?
I'm just glad.
I noticed for that trivia thing they do on those, like there's a lot of repeats from restaurant to restaurant. And there's like the only trivia question I knew was the one about calico cats, that most of them are female. And I learned them like researching my own, like what breed of cat Asphalt is. And I already forgot what kind he is, but I remember that from researching cat breeds. And I tried to really impress Jamie with being like, oh, I know this is, they're all female. And Jamie's like, well, I knew that. And I'm like, well, how'd you learn that? She's like, oh, we just got Red Robin so much.
That's Red Robin trivia.
Most calico cats are female.
I didn't know Red Robin did. I only know that because I have a female calico cat, and the shelter told us that.
Mine's black.
Huh.
I don't know if most black cats are female or male. I know they're almost always buttholes.
Yeah.
Because they're a cat.
Yeah. They're just divas.
Good old bucket.
Look at me.
So if you don't think that cats are buttholes... or if you think they are, you can give us a call at 1-801-896-4335. That's also 801-896-GEEK. Feel free to give us an email as well at...
geeksrewired@gmail.com.
Pretty fancy.
It's there too. It's in the show notes.
On the show notes. Look at that.
Yeah.
I grabbed the card for no reason.
Or it's in the show notes listeners are listening to because it's in the...
You can click the link and it will probably like open up a mailing application that you don't use.
Well, if it's on their phone,
it might be
the one that they do
use. That's true. I always think about people being on their PC. I don't do a lot of things that on the phone that a lot of people do. Like I never Facebook on my phone. Although I do the podcasts on my phone.
Well... Good storage.
Yeah.
You usually want to do it while you're...
You do it when you're not at your computer. When you're at your computer, you're busy playing, you know, War of the Overlord World or something.
Elder Scrolls.
No. So I learned something this week. A coworker of mine said that he's been playing Dungeons 3. And I was like, oh, you mean Dungeon Keeper? because he described it a little bit. He's like, you're the bad guy and you attract enemies to your thing and everything like that. And I'm like, oh, you mean Dungeon Keeper 3, which just came out on Steam like last year or something like that. And I described it to him. He's like, yeah, that's the one. I was like, cool, I have that too. And I haven't played it since it came out of beta, which it did recently, probably, you know, 6 months ago or something like that. Anyways, so I'm like, you know what I'll do? I'll go through and I'll beat it, and then we can play multiplayer and see who's better. And he's like, yeah, that sounds like fun. So we're talking about it. And then I started talking about units, and he's like, what do you mean, floating eyeball? Turns out that there's two games that are really similar in looks. One's called Dungeons, one's called Dungeon Keeper, and they're both on the third iteration at this point.
Oh man, that sounds sketchy. Is Dungeons an older game? Because I know Dungeon Keeper 1 came out in, like, what, 97? Something like that?
Yeah, well, Dungeons 3 came out in October of this year. October 13 is the release date. It came out
2 weeks ago.
Yeah, and Dungeon Keeper 3 came out, like, the original one, like you said, came out, like, a long time ago, back in the 90s. But the newest version was released, like, I don't know, like, 6 months ago or something like that. It came out of beta. Because you could buy it a while back.
April.
I think I bought it last year.
No, that's not it.
No, this is the game. Does that say 2015?
No, that's War of
the
Overworld.
That's it.
Really?
Yeah, Dungeon Keeper 3, War for the Overworld.
Oh.
Yeah. But this is Dungeon... But so it shows a release date of April 2nd, 2015. But I think that what they did is they released it, but it was still in beta for a long time. And what they did is they said... When it's out of beta, you'll just get the full version of the game if you pay for it now. Huh. So, but anyways, yeah, there's two games that look remarkably similar, have the same plot and everything like that. Different names.
You have to crawl through the dungeon?
No, it's so much fun. You're not familiar with the game?
Not even remotely.
Okay, so there's not a lot of games where you actually actively play the bad guy and you know it. But this is one of them. And what you do is you build a dungeon from your dungeon core out, and you've got these little imps that will, like, tunnel in underground for you and whatnot. And you build features into your dungeons that will attract your army. So
your army or the heroes?
No, my army.
Oh, okay.
Okay. And then at a certain point, you'll either face, like, the heroes from above will come down and attack you, or you'll, like, have to destroy inhibitors so that you can... expand further, or like sometimes opposing dungeon keepers, like you'll fight other of the same type of things, but they have different room types, and you can build traps for your dungeon, and you can research different spells and claim territory and stuff like that. But it's a lot of fun, and I haven't gotten too far into this one. I was playing it was in the beta, and it was a little buggy, and I really liked it. But I stopped playing it because it was just a little too buggy for my likes still. I mean, it's a beta, so it's to be expected.
Oh, that's
but,
a shame.
When it came out full, I didn't actually pick it up and play it. So I just started playing it recently, and they fixed the bugs, and the graphics aren't like super amazing or anything, but you know, the gameplay is where it's at, and I don't really care about graphics. If you got a good game, the graphics don't mean anything to me.
Yep, look at Mario.
So, but yeah, it's a lot of fun. But now I gotta like grab the fake one, the other one called Dungeons, and see what that's like.
There's no way that's a coincidence. That's like so on the nose.
Yeah, it looks really similar. It looks like... better. Like the graphics are better in Dungeons, but it looks like when I describe the gameplay and stuff, we couldn't tell that we were talking about different games. So should be fun. I think Dungeons is a little more in depth. It's hard to know until I play them.
Yeah,
but I'll probably buy Dungeons in the next little bit, and I'll let you guys know. Oh, it's only $40. How much was Dungeon Keeper?
30.
Yeah, $10 cheaper for the less worse graphics.
Unless game. You want to buy the Anniversary Collection, which is 50, or you can buy the Overworld Underlord Edition, which is 37.
Nice.
It's So it depends on how much add-on stuff do you want.
Yeah, there's some My Pet Dungeon and like a Crucible, which I'm not sure what exactly what that does and whatnot. But they do have a mode where you can set up your dungeon, and then you can give yourself gold so you can set up the dungeon, and then you can set the enemy level at whatever you want it to, and then send a wave of, you know, however many waves of enemies to fight, so you can test out different strategies and stuff. It's pretty cool.
Sounds fun.
Yeah.
Actually, so, I'm kind of curious about the publishers and all that. Nope, they are even different companies.
So I'm wondering if maybe Dungeon Keeper and Dungeons, like, both originally came out at the same time. I mean, it's something we'll have to research and get back to you guys on.
Dungeon 3 did say it's like Warcraft meets Dungeon Keeper.
Ooh.
That's what it said in its ad.
It is a little thing. So,
we're
yeah.
like Dungeon Keeper.
That, yeah. So,
yeah, there's the wiki. I was trying to figure out like the origin of these games and.
Oh wait.
What?
Oh, okay.
By Bullfrog Productions for Microsoft Windows.
Didn't you type in Dungeon 3?
I did. That's the other one.
Oh, okay.
Look at that.
Even now I can't even keep them straight.
Yeah. See. But though Dungeons 3 is on more platforms.
Hmm.
That's why it took them longer.
Yeah. They didn't release a beta. They released a full game.
Yeah. Pretty fancy.
Actually, I'm questioning whether there was a Dungeons 1 or 2. Oh, there was a Dungeons 2.
Yeah, there was at least a Dungeons 2. So
I was like, just start the game off. We are the third iteration of the game that you have never heard of.
Yeah.
Come play us.
Oh, and the guy who narrated Stanley Parable. Narrates this one. One of the things about Dungeon Keeper is the narrator, like the narration for it, is like really funny and just pretty spot on and awesome, because it's like in the tutorial levels that he like teaches you how to play, and if you don't do what he suggests you do, he like insults you and berates you. So, you know, because you're the bad guys, you gotta add that in there. So and then in the later levels and the older games, he would tell you what to do. And then if you failed, like, he would talk bad about you, talk smack. And then even sometimes if you won, but you didn't win with a very good margin, he'd still be like, wow, I'm surprised you won. You like really suck at this stuff.
Did you ever play Theme Hospital,
Ted? Theme Hospital? No, I have not.
Is another game that was really similar to Dungeon Keeper that was made by the same developer, Bullfrog, yeah. And it came out like a little bit before Dungeon Keeper. And it's sort of like a proto Sims. You basically just set up a hospital and like patients came in and treated them. But it wasn't like actual diseases. Like, it was just like big head disease or like constant flatulence disease. Like, it was just like really goofy kind of. Fake made up diseases, and the game was really tongue in cheek, and it kind of had that snarky humor that Dungeon Keeper had, but it was like pretty much nothing but that, and didn't have like a lot of the complexity of like combat and stuff. It was just like a simulation game.
Sounds like fun.
So
yeah, it's pretty cool.
Apparently, Dungeon 2 is a more direct spinoff from Dungeon Keeper than Dungeon 1.
So,
so they totally were like, we're ripping this off.
So if Dungeons 3 says that it's like Warcraft plus Dungeon Keeper, probably the main difference, and this is just total guess on my part, but probably the difference between them is that you have more direct control over your minions. Because in Dungeon Keeper, like, you attract the minions and you can tell them what job to take in your base depending on the type of minion that they are. They some of them won't do crap for you other than fight. But and then you can tell them, you can like put a beacon flag and like tell them all to go fight somewhere, but you can't tell them who to fight and who to concentrate on it or anything like that. They just do whatever the hell they want. So like, yeah, you can like pick them up and like drop them next to an enemy and hope they'll attack that enemy, but they don't always attack that enemy. Sometimes they'll be like, oh, I like this other guy over here more. So, I'm not going to attack the healer because why would we do that? So, yeah, it's a little frustrating. So I bet that Dungeons 3 like lets you have more direct control a la most RTS games. But I think that's one of the quirks of Dungeon Keeper is that, you know, you can't, like, you can just give them general instructions. You're like, yeah, maybe you should go over here, and if you find an enemy, maybe attack it or just kind of complain. That's fine, too.
I didn't kind of like that the units thought for themselves, and you didn't really have control over them. You just kind of had to be like, well, this monster definitely doesn't like heroes, so we'll put him over there.
Yeah.
And this other one is, and, like, you don't have, like, your like, little grunts that, like, do mining and stuff where you try to, like, attack heroes. They'll just, like, run away. Like, that's kind of nice, because, like, in StarCraft or whatever, you'd be like, oh, hey, I'm going to have my miner go attack this tank, and you just, like, watch, like, a bunch of units die just because you clicked the wrong thing. And this one is more like, no, we'll take care of ourselves best we can.
Yeah, you can possess any of your minions and then do whatever you want once you're possessed them. You can cast their spells and attack them.
That was kind of a cool mechanic that you could just go first-person mode. So, like, if you're good at fighting in, like, Ultima or, like, even, like, Quake or something, you could actually, like, play the game and, like, be a better, like, combat unit than like the unit on its own would be.
And then you could target the healer instead of...
So you might have to update their wiki page because it says Dungeon Keeper 3, the release was cancelled.
It's a cancelled PC strategy game.
Release. Cancelled.
Neat.
You're playing a completed cancelled game. How's that make you feel?
Yeah,
with expansions.
That's pretty awesome.
That's super indie. There you go.
I'm going to have to modify this completely.
I do love it. It was set to be the next.
Oh, episode. Well, that's because it began in 1999. And then it was canceled in 2000. So,
yeah, and there's articles from 2006.
That's funny.
That might be.
Oh man, it's like a Duke Nukem Forever situation.
Maybe that's why Dungeon came out, is because they're like, this game's never coming. We're gonna make our own.
That's
yeah,
right.
That could be. Yeah. But they actually released it shortly before they released the beta to be purchased on Steam. They released an Android game. Which is pretty similar, but obviously they had to strip down some features and whatnot. So, but it's kind of fun. And I think it includes microtransactions and stuff, so that's probably how they paid for development of this game.
That'd help a lot. Early microtransactions.
So speaking of games, Alex, didn't you recently go to a retro game con or something?
I did. The biggest one in the Pacific Northwest, the Portland Retro Gaming Expo.
It's awesome.
That's pretty rad.
It looked pretty cool. I was kind of jelly.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. That's like, it's kind of like a lot of the same stuff every year. Like, I mean, like, if there's old video games at an expo from 4 years ago, you're going to see the same old games, just 4 years older and 4 years more expensive. So there's, like, a lot of that, but I guess the only really different thing, like, this year from previous expos is there's so many, like, reproduction cartridges and, like, even counterfeit cartridges that, like, that's beginning to be, like, a huge problem. Like, and you don't really know if you're buying, like, an original or not. Like, there's so many rare games, though, is there. It's like, oh, man, this one's so cheap. And then I talked to the person that is selling the game. They're like, oh, yeah, well, I mean, it's not original. I'm like, oh, you mean it's reproduction? Yeah, it's one of those. I was like, oh, geez. Like, that happened over and over again. So, like, I mostly just bought, like, my favorite thing to buy is just, like, really cheap Japanese Game Boy games because they're, like, they're basically garbage in Japan. So, like, you're more or less paying for, like, whatever someone paid to ship it over here whenever you buy them. So, like, you can get, like, $4 Japanese Game Boy games. If you buy, like, action games, that totally works fine. So I bought, like, a bunch of those. I bought, like, one very obvious reproduction Mega Man game for the Genesis. Because it had, like, LED lights inside of the cartridge.
Wow.
But, yeah, it's pretty cool just, like, look around at the very least. And there's, like, also just, arts and crafts type things where people make a... Like, there's a local vendor that makes barware that's Nintendo-themed. Like, they've got, like, a Mega Man, Mega Buster-style pint glass that looks like the arm cannon. They've got a bunch of shot glasses that look like Mario pipes and, like, a bottle opener that looks like an NES zapper. It's there's like a bunch of fun stuff like that, and there's also like panels of like video game creators that worked for Atari, and there's like a bunch of YouTube personalities. Like that's a game to be a real big thing for the Retro Gaming Expo. Just tons of people who do Let's Plays were showing up and do like autographs and stuff.
It's really weird to me that people spend a lot of time watching other people play video games. Like, I love video games. I've spent a lot of my life has been spent playing video games. But unless someone's like really good at a game, like super good at a game, I have a really hard time watching someone play a video game.
I know.
Like,
yeah.
Anybody, especially like some of the YouTubers like PewDiePie or some of the other ones where they'll play a game that they've never played before and they'll be like trying to figure it out. Mm-hmm. Like, I just get so irritated at them. Like, yeah.
Well, some of that I look at is, you know, do I want to get this game? So it's a good quick.
It's not bad for that, but people will just watch that and they'll be like, I'm playing this so you don't have to.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of like the.
Does hurt the. Single player.
Yeah, I guess so. But like
we talked about a couple weeks back.
The Five Nights at Freddy's, for example, like a lot of people like played that and it's one of those jump scare games. If you haven't heard of it, it's like, you know, it's the graphics were really horrible and the gameplay was really like it was just really weird. Mm. And like one of the things was you'd be looking at one place and you'd turn and look back and all of a sudden the monster, like the bad guy would be right there in your face and so it'd scare you. And so the YouTuber who was playing it would always like act extra scared or whatever, mm-hmm. like, you know, freaking out. And like, I don't know. I just don't find that entertaining. I know Anna loves watching people play Five Nights at Freddy's.
Well, and I think some of those scary games are fun to watch or even to have like a group, like playing Slenderman. As a group with people watching in the living room or the interaction.
If I can have a conversation with you about it,
yeah,
I'm okay watching someone play video games. But I don't know.
What do you like it, Anna?
What do I like about it?
Yeah.
There's certain YouTubers that are really entertaining. I guess the main one that I usually like to watch is Markiplier. And I don't know. It is entertaining, like how he interacts when he's actually playing the games. I don't know. It's different.
I probably couldn't do it because it'd just be like a series of swear words, and they'd be like, "Sorry, you can't watch this because you're 14."
Exactly. Yeah. Put in your birthday.
You'd be surprised, but there's actually entire, like, that's like a subgenre of the Let's Play people. People who just, like, basically make scatological references while playing video games. I'm not joking. The Angry Video Game Nerd is, like, this enormous brand on YouTube for Let's Plays. And, yeah, that's his shtick. He just, like, swears at video games.
Is he good at them, or is that the point?
Like, the dude's made a career out of it. It's kind of weird. I guess it's not really that weird. It's like it's no weirder than like other Let's Plays. I don't know. I know exactly one Twitch streamer, and I think just like if people like playing video games, but maybe they're not very good at it, or they don't want to give like a video game their full attention. Like it's kind of a way you can like experience you can like share the experience of a video game without having to put like a lot of effort into it.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe I guess it's like the fast food of playing a video game would be maybe my analogy to it. Like you don't do any of the prep work or stuff, but you still get to like consume the experience.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Like I have spent a lot of time watching competitive StarCraft. But the reason that I watch them is because they're really, really good and they can do things that I can't or just. Hadn't thought of or whatever, and so it was fun to watch like two really competitive people like really good at it, and I think that's why people watch sports in general is to watch the people who are really really good at it mm-hmm. do it. So I can see watching someone that's really good at it, but like to me watching YouTubers play a video game for the first time is kind of like getting a bunch of like fifth graders together to play football and then watching them play like,
or watching somebody like, I'm going to play soccer officially for the first time. Let's open up the rule book.
Yeah.
And now I'm going to learn how to kick the ball.
Dribble. What do you mean? I can't touch it with my hand.
It's kind of different.
Go ahead, Anna.
Sometimes like certain things that you might be watching online of those players, like for Five Nights at Freddy's, like, I watch more than just the person playing it. I sometimes kind of follow what people think about the lure, like the storyline behind that particular game. Right. And So like that's kind of what I find interesting too, is just to kind of find out what other people think, why the storyline is set up the way it is.
Yeah, that's better.
Or even the side conversations. Actually, there is one that I give you, CPG Gray or GCP Gray. He does podcasts. He does those little stick figure informational stuff. But he hopped on, like, you know, European Trucker. Like, absolutely the most boring thing to watch somebody play. Hands down.
Euro Truck Simulator is kind of an interesting game, though. Yeah. It's kind of like if they took the delivery missions of Grand Theft Auto and built an entire game around it.
That's yeah. all you do.
And you're driving real city roads and all this other stuff, delivering a product. But the other stuff, like, there's all these side conversations, and you get to see those. And he even talks, you know, he's gotten food delivered. He goes, grabs it, and he starts eating while he's playing and answering. So you'll see he'll just take off down the road, like, I'm passing everybody. And then he'll eat something or look at this side conversation and just run out or run into something and flip his truck. He's like, this is why you should not eat and drive or text and drive.
Anna, you mentioned a video game, the plot of a video game as being a reason to watch Let's Plays. Doesn't Five Nights at Freddy's have like a bunch of different like possible endings or something? Like as a branching plot?
In general, there is a main plot for like what it is. Like you play as like a security guard, and these animatronic puppets basically. They come to life at night, and that's when you're working, and you have like 5 nights that you're working there, but you have to survive the night, and they'll just come after you, jump at you, try to scare you, and basically end your night that you're actually playing for the shift. But they have a lot more to it as far as Five Nights at Freddy's. There's a lot of people that actually like have different ideas on why the animatronics actually walk by themselves. And
but is that like official, or is it just some guy making up stories about the thing?
Most of it is made up, but it's speculation, but it's very interesting like what people come up with. So that's kind of what I'm interested in when I actually watch like some of the YouTube,
because I know like listening to it, some of the ones just seemed like fan fiction. Like a guy's telling a scary story about Five Nights at Freddy's.
There are some of those that are like that. But there are just plays that you can watch, and you know, sometimes they throw in extra information as far as like what they think about what's happening with the storyline.
You usually watch the scary ones, though, don't you? You don't really watch just plays of like other games. You watch like the Slender Man and the...
Well, I guess I do lean toward the horror, but there are other ones that I have watched too.
That's kind of part of the fun, just like speculate on what's going on in that world, right? Though, right?
Exactly. That's
like that's part of the fun.
That's what makes it entertaining. And I don't know if you guys are like watch other things like creepypastas or anything like that on YouTube, where you just kind of listen to the stories, but. I find those really fascinating and interesting.
Oh, man. I got to interject with a quick plug for a game that I tapped out because it was just too much. There's this game called it's called Doki Doki Literature Club. And if you look it up on Itch, it looks like a lame dating sim. In fact, it looks identical to it. I think they just use like stock assets from like one of the visual novel builders. And, like, you read down, like, the entire page, and about halfway down in just, like, maybe, like, 18-point font. Like, it's not very big. It just says, this game is not suitable for children or those who are easily disturbed. And they're totally right. The game is just, like, deeply upsetting and disturbing. In new ways I've never, like, felt in a video game. But, yeah, I think the new breed of, like, creepypasta. Just things that aren't, like... Maybe like, the traditional, like, cinematic-type creepiness where things, like, jump out at you. It's more just, like... just brooding, dreading, like psychological horror.
That's it's a free game, isn't it?
It is a free game.
Yeah, it's totally free.
I think it showed up in my like, you should try that based on what you play, you should play this one. And it's probably because Alex keeps buying me weird games.
on Steam.
Yeah,
by the way, don't stop buying me.
This
weird
one's
games.
Definitely in there.
I've played games like that before. That looks pretty cute. Kind of like an anime. I'd actually play that game too.
I've read some. There's like a really good review that that a Kotaku writer wrote. That I mean, it has like a couple of spoilers, but it's only a spoiler in that like spooky stuff happens, which you kind of have to know going into it. Because if you're just like expecting a bright and cheerful visual novel and you start playing this game, you would definitely be disappointed. But if you're expecting like just basically like a MOE game to just go upside down and just be horrifying, that's what you're gonna get. I'll see if I can find that and stick in the show notes, because like the review is really good.
Hey, if you can find the review, I'll get the Steam link in there too. So yeah, it's.
Oh, yeah, there's a cutscene in the title, but Gita Jackson was the Kotaku writer that wrote on it, and Doki Doki Literature Club scared me. And there's another.
Yeah, it says psychological horror, along with cute. I've never seen those go together.
Yeah, it's like totally a moment game, like all the way through. But it's also just like eldritch. Well, not eldritch horror. It's more like I guess like the type of horror that is maybe like System Shock or something like that. But yeah, that's I guess if you're looking for something creepy to play this Halloween, maybe that's a good idea. This term might be like over applied, and I mean like. Please take it with like the utmost respect possible. But trigger warning: this game is not for people who have like issues like suicide or like depression or anything like that. Because it's unless you can like consume media that like treats it without any delicacy, you're not going to enjoy it. You're not going to have a good time. That's kind of like the point I had to like kind of tap out. But I'm going to go back to it. I'm going to probably go back to it a little later because apparently the game like. It just keeps twisting around. So I kind of just want to get through it just so I can be like, oh yeah, I've played this game that's defined a new genre. But yeah, it's just like deeply upsetting.
It's really interesting. This game came out in September this year, and you need like a Windows 7 dual core 4 gigs of RAM to play.
Oh, that's totally not true.
Poster?
I guess 4 gigs of RAM is not that much, but yeah, I ran it on like a very old Mac laptop from like 2008. So yeah, it runs on like nothing. It's just a visual novel, so you don't need any like fancy graphics cards or anything.
Yeah, it's like integrated graphics, which means you need to have a monitor hooked up to your computer to play this.
Pretty much. You basically need a computer that will turn on. That's basically what you need to play this. You need a computer to turn on, and it has at least like 250 meg of hard drive space.
Yeah, I think you almost need more of a computer to run Steam than you do to run this game.
Pretty much. If Steam will open, you can play this game.
Oh, yes.
If you can Google for this video game, you can play it.
So there is apparently multiple endings of the... There's a happy... For Five Nights at Freddy's, there apparently is a happy ending. Also, back on that, and... depending on what you do, like you might drown. That you guys were talking about the multi endings before.
The Five Nights at Freddy's.
Yeah, for Five Nights at Freddy's.
Now, is it the same security guard in all the sequels, or is it different people?
Well, you know? I mean, you are the security guard, so.
So you're the same person.
Well, it doesn't have a plot, though. He's not a person.
Well, I mean, the plot is
that it's first person.
Is that you were hired to be security at this place, and like there's all these like restrictions, like just keep an eye on the monitors, and you can either have the light on or the door closed, and you only have so much power. So and it takes power to keep a door closed, which seems weird to me, but. But whatever.
I guess one more thing to note on like the Let's Players and like people who are very good at video games. One other thing that actually did happen at the Retro Game Expo specifically was the Tetris World Championship. And you can see if you ever like the next time the Retro Game Expo happens, just keep a watch on the Twitch stream they've got of it, because you can see people play Tetris so fast you basically can't tell what's going on. And it's weird watching because there's like these Fist of the North Star moments where someone just like their screen is mostly cleared, but they realize they can't win, so they just put down their controller. Like, it's so weird watching someone's like, I've already lost, and most of their screen's clear, and they just drop their controller and just stop playing. Like, it was so weird, because I was like, no, keep playing, you're doing good. And they're just like, no, I lost already. It's so weird seeing people who are so good at Tetris, they're like several moves ahead, and they know when they've already lost. That's, like, that's I just can't even fathom being that good at Tetris.
Like,
I have to play Tetris with I think like level 3 or like Dr. Mario on like level 3 or 4. I just can't imagine like playing a game that where like level 20 is like not enough and you'd have to have like something higher than that to be a challenge.
Yeah. Funny thing, I was reading the wiki about Tetris cuz I was curious about like its origins and the copyright status of it and whatnot.
Oh, that's wild.
It's called Tetris because tetra as in four, and there's four squares on each piece, which I thought was pretty interesting. And then tied in with that, I recently learned that October, November, December are all based on the number of the month. So October is supposed is 8, November is 9, December is 10, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's supposed to be 8, 9, 10. But they added January and February onto the calendar and didn't bother to change the names of those other months. So, I thought that was kind of a weird thing.
So it's like how they do sequels for like Freddy movies and Jason movies. They just like, instead of using numbers, they just use like different words to differentiate them. So they might be non-sequential.
Yeah, or like people complaining about Windows like 10 and then... and not having a Windows 9 and be like, dude, what about October? The 8th month?
This might be the best evidence that like past lives exist, because the same people who named months on the calendar are also the same people that come up with names for
operating systems. Yeah, that makes sense. I'm with it.
Everyone hates the number 9. Really, that's just it. Windows doesn't like it. Apple doesn't like it.
Yeah, but November, that's 9. Based off of the number.
November's overrated. There's nothing there anyways.
Thanksgiving?
Nope, it's Christmas. Christmas. Halloween to Christmas.
Ah, gotcha. that's a good point.
Thanksgiving's okay. Like, I mean, if you got good enough stuffing, it's okay. And pumpkin
I'm
pie,
sorry.
You got that too.
The eating holiday is my favorite holiday.
Yeah.
See, the dress-up holiday is my favorite holiday.
Yeah.
definitely. Halloween's got it's got candy. And then Thanksgiving, you've got like just piles of food.
So much food.
Christmas, all you have is just like heartburn, making sure you got a gift for one of your Christmas lists. Or like send a Christmas card out.
That, it's just the obligation of Christmas is really stressful. I think that's why so many people like, well, I'm not going to go down that road. Never mind.
Well, also.
What they should do is they should change Christmas so you have to buy one present for another person and you can't buy more or less than that.
Only one present and it's government assigned.
Mm-hmm. They could just do like the Reddit gift exchange thing.
See, no, that's why I do the Reddit gift exchange. It's assigned. I don't have to think about it. And I get a present back.
I need to try that this year. I keep forgetting about it.
I used to do Secret Santa on the Ars Technica board, but then Ars Technica got really popular and so,
and they got bought out and they're...
Yeah. Well, the same guy still runs it.
Oh, I thought they sold.
They did, but Ken Fisher is still he's still the in charge of basically everything, but he just got a boatload of money from Condé Nast.
See, then you wouldn't like Reddit because Reddit for the past like 3 years has become the largest Secret Santa World Guinness record holder.
Oh, yeah.
Would you just build your own profile and list what you want, and then they assign you to somebody who buys it for you?
You say, I am into these things.
Okay, and then somebody just finds something within those things you listed?
And, well, also, if you link your Reddit account to your Secret Santa Reddit account, then people will Reddit stalk you and go, okay, you said you were into this. Let me look at what you've done, what you post, and all this,
okay.
And really figure out like you. And as there's people like I don't care, just whatever. And they'll get Reddit stalked, and they'll get the most amazing present ever.
Huh.
So yeah, that was my experience on Ars Technica. Like, you'd get someone, and I didn't have a lot of money when I was doing this and whatnot. But so I'd try to do something like thoughtful based on what I knew about that person and stuff. And I'd get like. do like a certificate of appreciation and like have a whole bunch of people from all around the country sign it or something like nice. That. But like one guy had a really good job, got me, and just filled up with all the promotional stuff that he got at his work. And it was some really nice stuff, like wireless mouses back when they were barely a thing. And
they were like just a couple $100 each.
All this swag that he had lying around that was higher quality than your cheap swag that you get places. Cause he had a pretty good job.
And Reddit, whatnot, so. People give like Bill Gates, he's gone out and been people's Secret Santa. I mean, you'll get celebrities who will get into this and they will send out stuff and go nuts.
Yeah, I remember that. And they'll send like actual pictures of themselves proving that it really came from them. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then sometimes there's, you know, some people don't really do a good job. They get their present and then they wander off or they just, you know, drop the ball. So there's rematches. And Bill Gates has even been rematched. Like, yeah, I'll cover these. And
oh, that's cool.
Yeah. Fancy.
Well, you can be the guy who only receives a gift and doesn't send one out.
And then they shut down your account, your Secret Santa account.
Yeah, that's...
yeah. You'll never Secret Santa.
Well, you sent to internet hell for that. It's eternal damnation.
But there's also you get coins for doing these, and so you also go up in tiers. So if you go, you move up. More likely, these people have been doing it for a while because they have more. Because you get the coins back.
Yeah.
Like you did it. You got you posted the picture, or you said you got it, and you made congratulations. Maybe post pictures. The person that you sent yours to, they said they got it. They hit their little notes. They maybe posted pictures. You get all your coins back, and you usually get an extra one.
Oh, cool. So, okay.
So for each of these, you do.
They're virtual coins, right?
They're Reddit imaginary, you know,
Reddit coins.
Money. Reddit coins that can only be used.
Because if they're Bitcoins, no. I am interested.
Yeah.
Well, I don't even know how many I have, actually. I'm kind of curious, though. Yeah. I know I think I can do, like, I don't do, they do a lot of, you know, gift exchanges. I've done a few. I like the postcard one. That's a good one to start on because they usually get one coin, but you don't need any coins to do the postcard one. And I like the international on that because it's like 37 cents to send the postcard. And then you get some really interesting ones.
So if you like postcards, you can get to... all sorts of fancy stuff.
Yeah, I've actually got some pretty cool postcards from around the world. And look at that. Autofill. I have no clue how many I have. Oh, I got to sign up. Look at that. It starts. Matching is on December 6th this year. Oh, that's the cards.
Oh, I see. And then ship by. Okay.
Yeah. You can look at my past. Oh, I have 16 credits.
16 coins, huh?
16, yeah.
Nice.
So that just shows how trustworthy and experienced you are, basically.
I've been part of 13 past exchanges, and you also get extra coins for being a rematcher, because, hey, I'm going to do this. And the postcard one is, I think, really easy, and it sucks when people don't get anything. Like, yeah, I'll send something out. But,
and,
yeah.
And then they get a postcard from Idaho.
Yeah, they get a postcard from Idaho.
Great. I'm in Utah.
Hey, for Christmas. There's the just the standard postcard, and then there's the holiday postcard, and I have made a postcard that I sent off. So it's kind
of. Did it have glitter on it?
No. It had Batman and jingle bells.
Nerd.
I know.
I like Batman.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been fun.
So, Alex, why did you do anything special at the con?
Oh, like, man. We're getting back to the con already.
Yes.
Did you have a listeners of the show will know last episode I was going to go plug my own video game, my own self-developed video game, Robo V Dino. And it was totally fun.
Yeah, I played it. I really liked it.
Oh, thank you. I learned a bunch of things when I was trying to hawk my own game. Specifically, like, people don't really get, like, people like looked at the name and they thought it was things like Robo Duino, like an Arduino. Like I had a bunch of people come up to me and like start playing the game, like, oh man, this is running an Arduino hardware. And sometimes it'd be me or sometimes it'd be Jamie that's explained, like, no, it's just like a regular computer, there's no Arduino. And they're like, well, what's with the name? And they're like, no, it's Robo V Dino. And they look at the name and realize they're like, in their brain just transposed the D and the V and then made the V into a U. And the font face we used made it look like it could possibly pass for a V, pass for a U. And there's also like an Arduino-based video game console called Arduboy that was right nearby. So I think people were just like mentally prepared to find like Arduino gaming on the center of the expo. So like I had explained to so many people about that. I'd never thought that'd ever be a problem I'd have. So, it was really
odd. So maybe you should rebrand it as Robo versus Dino VS.
I'm actually kind of thinking about it, but I've got a sweet logo now, so I don't even want to change it.
You could always,
I have to like just draw an S.
You could always just like make it look like it's spray painted over the top of it. VS.
I just like there's just like this there's like this MS Paint S.
Yeah, exactly.
Like completely out of place. like oh, we thought of this later. So
yeah, it's totally fun. A bunch of like little kids loved it. I gave out like a ton of stickers for it. I got if any of you folks are if any of you listeners are like have ever like battled the experience of taking like a piece of what is at least in your mind a piece of art and like putting it out there for the people to evaluate, that's like really spooky. And I was like really close to just like not showing up, and then just like during the whole expo I was like felt sick to my stomach. I really thought I was going to barf a few times because I was so nervous, but I got over eventually, and it was like way fun. It was so
cool.
That's
cool. So that reminds me of my younger brother is just really, really into comics. And he has a friend who was a pretty talented artist and actually got interviews with people for I think it was like Marvel or you know, one of the big comic book people. Like he got an interview for him and stuff like that. And so my brother has this whole story about how he was trying to help his friend like get back on his feet and whatnot and go and to this interview and stuff. So him, the two of them will go to Comic-Con, and he's got this whole big story about it, and the guy just couldn't take the pressure of hearing what other people had to say about his art that he didn't know, and he ended up not going to the interviews and stuff because he just couldn't handle the pressure. So I think that's totally legitimate concern. Like I have a hard time when my coworkers tell me that my code sucks. Right. So like doing something like what you're doing and just putting it out there for the world to say what they think about it is just amazing, because there's a lot of jerks out there.
Mm-hmm.
So
I don't know if maybe just jerks didn't buy tickets to the Retro Game Expo or what, but I got like no negative feedback on it.
Yeah, that's
like the worst I got was I asked them if they wanted to sign up for a mailing list and they said no.
That's harsh. Like,
that's the worst feedback.
That's so out of line. That is so out of line. If you tell me who it was, I will track them down and
find them.
Yeah, I'll find them.
You'll track them down, find their email address, and I'll sign them up when they want to or not.
So, funny story about that. At the Comic-Con that I went to, a lot of the people asked for my email to like so that they could sign me up for a mailing. The Salt Lake,
the Snake River.
Gosh, did I say Salt Lake? Did I say Salt Lake twice? Or did I just say Comic-Con?
You just said Comic-Con.
You were saying Comic-Con before, but I was just going to say
Snake River. Yeah, I always say River. Salt Lake. I don't know why. Yeah. They even did it on the announcements once. One of the announcements, they said the Salt Lake Comic. I mean the Snake River Comic-Con. Yeah. So the only con I've been to, which is the Snake River Comic-Con, a lot of the people there, like, hey, give me your email address so I can put you on my mailing list. And I never give out my email address, and I did like to anybody who asked for it. And then like, I immediately regretted it when I had 600 emails. So I just went through and like marked it all as spam. And you know, Google says mark as spam and unsubscribe. So I don't know if it sends a message back to them, but,
I don't know how like people can afford to do that. Cause like I did a mail list sign up on paper, and, I was trying to decipher what to do, like, emailing myself, because there's like a couple of different ways you can do email. You can either do it yourself with your own like hosted server, or you can use like MailChimp. And MailChimp, like after a certain point, it gets really expensive, like to the point of like $200 a month or so, if you're over like a certain amount. So yeah, I don't know how those people like just like they'll sign anybody up just like maliciously.
Well, it wasn't maliciously. Like I volunteered to. I gave my email out. Like,
sorry, I'm using the wrong word again. Just like spuriously email out, like just way too many emails.
Yeah, so
Yeah, I don't know how they're doing that, but yeah, I've had that experience before too. Like I felt bad asking people for their email address because like I ostensibly wouldn't give my email address out to anybody.
Right.
Like I felt dirty asking people for it because yeah, like I had that same experience like so many times just going to like any kind of show, like not even just like video games, but like any.
So kind. I was talking. I went to Jason Brubaker's talk about like how to make money with comics or whatever, and really his talk, it was really enlightening and everything like that. But he said like one of the things that he said was that as far as marketing goes, email is the best way to go, because you know if you're sending out letters and stuff, each letter costs a lot of money if compared to emails, and like a lot of people, if you try to do it like you know find me on Facebook, whatever, like a lot of those don't get through the Facebook's algorithm because they want you to pay money. And so he's like, if you can get on their mailing list and you can get them on your mailing list, like purportedly, like supposedly these people are going to be the ones that are much more likely to be receptive of that. But yeah, so like I guess that's as far as marketing for an indie game or something like that, that seems like the better option. But it's still like I can see like it's not great just because we live in an age of like everybody hates spam.
Oh yeah, totally. Every time I sign to Facebook, I get like a notification that says, oh, spend $10 and like 200 people can look at this thing. I'm like, no, like pretty much every time. I'm trying to like even like stick to like Twitter and then just like email, because like I mean, I get like how Facebook works, but it like if I'm worried that if I spend $10 on the wrong post, like that's the one that someone's going to see and stuff like this other better thing. So I guess in that regard, maybe I don't really understand how Facebook works. Other than it's like it's a cool place to like post pictures of like food I've eaten or something.
Yeah, that's the best thing to do is just take pictures of food you've eaten, put it on Facebook and call it a day.
Or a baby you ate, one of the two.
Instagram.
Oh, man.
All right.
I get one of those soon. It's going to be delicious.
So, this Halloween.
This is Halloween.
Is, which
Halloween.
Is Tuesday.
Halloween.
Halloween Comic Fest.
It's, holy crap.
This is.
Halloween is Tuesday.
It's Tuesday.
When did that happen?
The final weekend of October.
It happened.
Tuesday's a bad day for Halloween.
Oh, my space goat.
So, whoa. If you head to your local comic book store, there is
events. Halloween.
On Halloween.
Okay.
It is one of the free comic book, one of the two free comic book days of the year.
Is this going to be a regular thing?
Yeah, this is like its third or fourth year doing it.
For Halloween?
Yeah.
Oh, I only knew about the one in like May.
I feel like we're going to have the same conversation next year.
Yeah, exactly. Be like, again? Is it the first annual?
Don't worry. We'll pull up last year's and I'll just play it.
Yeah.
So you get
Halloween is on Wednesday. I can't believe it.
I know.
What? When did that happen?
And there's free comic books. To the end of the month.
Yeah, there you go. Well, that's good. I was trying to hit those up.
Yeah.
Go to Captain Bangles.
Mm-hmm. And they're bringing art for Captain Bangles. For those in Pocatello, Captain Bangles is bringing local artists, and there's actually quite a bit going on.
Which local artists?
I have to look it up. I know it's not who you think. Because I think I know who you think. But
I only know of one local artist.
No,
so.
It's yeah. Not. Yeah. It's not.
And I've already mentioned him.
Yeah. I could look it up real quick. But they're also, they got a bunch of Stranger Things stuff.
Oh, yeah, Stranger Things. What is that, Friday?
Friday, yeah.
So yes. When you're listening to this, you will probably just have finished binging on Stranger Things.
Well, depends on when they listen, because we do come out Friday morning.
Yeah.
So they could have listened and go like,
yay! I already finished
at
midnight.
I know what I'm doing tonight.
What are you talking about? Everybody's calling in sick.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Or they wish they would have now. I know what my weekend is. Actually, I still need to get through.
How many episodes is it going to be?
I don't remember.
Fun fact.
You're asking fun questions.
Yeah.
Fun fact. If you vomit in a garbage can nearest to you at work, they won't ask you for a doctor's note. They'll just send you home.
Yeah.
Just throwing that out there.
That's usually good. That's usually good practice.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Definitely, definitely, definitely. Yeah.
So the episode list, there is going to be...
Nine?
Nine. Look, they already prepped for season 3 too.
Yeah, of course, it's Netflix's golden goose now.
Yeah.
One of the many. I'm getting through Mindhunters right now.
I know, I like that show. Episode 2.
I'm
That's
on like
really good.
5 or something.
I started watching The Detectorists.
Detectorist?
Yeah, it's like a British, I don't want to call it a sitcom. I'm not sure it qualifies as a drama. Maybe it's about people who use metal detectors to find buried treasure in Great Britain.
Huh.
It's pretty dry, not a lot of comedy, not really heavy on the like stereotypical drama how you'd think it is. I know I'm making it sound like just the most terrible thing, but I found it really interesting and kind of transfixed. I watched one episode and then it's not that I loaded the next one up, but I just didn't turn it off when the next one came on. And then I watched that one and the same thing kept happening. It was like, I don't want to turn it off. And then I didn't watch it for about a week after I watched like 4 episodes. Then I rolled it up again and it was a kind of nice little thing. So,
Oh, the other thing, I can give you another artist in Pocatello, Bob.
Another artist?
Artist in Pocatello, Bob.
Beeson.
He's an artist and he owns Captain Bangles.
And actually, I looked it up. Their free comic day is on the 28th, Saturday.
Oh.
That's what it says.
All right. So double check this weekend, too. So they're having an local artist, Adrian, and I don't know how to pronounce his last name, but you can get your signed copy of favorite pieces of work.
Yeah.
And they have some.
It's cool.
Some really, really cool
stuff.
Well,
I'm not going to try to say that name either.
Yeah. 17 Stranger Things bracelets.
Yep. Yeah, if you go to Captain Bangles' Facebook page and go to the Comic Fest event, they will be posting a scavenger hunt. And the first 17 people that come back with photos will get these. They will get the bracelet.
Yeah.
They have not released what you need to do. You have to pay attention to their event page.
Man, I hope that they have a speed limit sign that doesn't end in 0 or 5. I saw that on Family Guy as like a scavenger hunt thing, and I was like, that's impossible, there such a thing doesn't exist, but I actually know of one here in Pocatello.
I have posted said one. It is like
3 pi.
Yep, that's the one.
Or 4 pi. Yeah, it's 4 pi. Is 3 pi? Pi 3 pi is pretty slow. 4 pi,
well, 4
slightly.
Pies.
It's
a parking
it's
lot.
About 3.1415926 more.
Yeah, true.
Then
it's a parking lot. It should be slow.
Yeah.
Yes, if you go to our Instagram page or maybe even our Facebook page, I've posted that one. It's been a while.
A while. Fun fact, I almost started working out where that sign is posted.
With Netflix, I watch Voltron, the 4th season. I like it.
I'm not.
You're not.
I'm staying away from the nostalgic shows for the sake of nostalgia.
Okay,
Transformers came back out,
don't worry.
I watched that. I was like, ah, that's crap. And everything I've watched that's like nostalgic shows, I was like, no.
Okay, so I'll admit, I'm not in Transformers. Voltron, they have done a very, very good job.
Oh, and I'm not talking about the Transformers movies. I'm talking about the Transformers cartoon that came out around 2000.
Oh. See, and don't go back and watch the old ones. Let that stay in nostalgia. Just watch the new ones.
Yeah.
Netflix is doing an amazing job at it. And last thing I want to talk about. The Walking Dead came back on. It's stupid people doing stupid things. That's why The Walking Dead works.
Alex, do you have a webpage for RoboVDino?
I do. It's RoboVDino.com. You can look at the press kit there. There's also an itch page for it that is also on RoboVDino.com if you follow the link.
Because I was trying to find it a while ago. I was trying to find it again because I wanted to try it out. And I couldn't find it on Google at all. So.
Oh, you mean to like play the game?
Well, I know that it's not up on the page anymore, but like I couldn't even find any reference to your game at all on when I googled for it. So
oh
I might have searched
weird
Dino v. Robo. I'm not sure.
Yeah, that
I couldn't remember which.
Or
was which,
or you put the S in there. Robo vs.
Or robot. Yeah, I don't know. I don't remember exactly what I searched, but I had a heck of a time with it.
Well, there's a link in the show notes.
It made me sad.
And there's a link in last week's show notes, too.
Really pimping the Robo v. Dino. It's yep. fun. I really enjoyed it. I liked it.
Hey, Alex brought it here first. We premiered it.
That's true. The first like the first press release for this game was in its prototype phase was on Geeks Are Wired. If you look at the Tumble blog from like 2015 when I made the original prototype, it was, I'll scroll down to it. Episode 160 of Geeks Are Wired. Robo v. Dino will have a playable alpha, not quite done in the middle demo at the Little Tiny Con in the middle of nowhere at Marshall Public Library in Brooksville, Idaho on Saturday, August 8th.
What episode?
And that was August 1st, 2015. So yeah, that's a little dated.
Yeah, it was the office shooter when it was that version of it.
It's been, yeah. It's like, I'm trying to remember.
Fax machines launching papers at you. Yeah. It's good times too.
They were fun.
Yeah.
I actually, I was thinking about like maybe trying to like make it like more of a conventional like top-down shooter again, but like one piece of feedback I got from like most of the parents and like just like some random 20-year-olds that stopped by and played the game were they're like, oh, that's cool, you can't kill anything, like not even ironically, just like, oh man, it's a retro style game that you're not like murdering everything on the screen, you're just like knocking out these dinosaurs and throwing them on a party boat.
Well, you also got to think though, I mean, where was this con?
That's right.
Oh, it's in Portland.
Okay. Yeah, so I'm not saying anything bad about people from Portland. But I
don't think you are. I think what you're saying is a very nice thing that people in Portland don't want to kill the dinosaurs.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying is that the people in Portland are probably a little more pacifistic than your general population.
Alex, even you remember how you forever have a string of guilt when you murder everyone at the end of The Last of Us, all the doctors.
I do. It's
Jordan
I got like a psychological predisposition into not hurting the enemies in video games.
So I had a similar experience. One time I took half an ounce of psychedelic mushrooms and played Counter-Strike and had to...
You're just like, no, come on, guys, don't.
I had to talk myself down and tell myself that I hadn't actually just shot someone in the head and freaking killed them.
Yeah.
It took me an hour and a half to convince myself that I hadn't actually killed anybody.
Okay.
Well, you're definitely on psychedelics if you thought you were nailing those headshots.
That's pretty extreme.
No, I had the P90 and it was in Italy, you know, and he comes up into that, you know, where you climb up over the wood stack and go in that room back there. And
that's...
I was a terrorist site and I just ran into the room and held the button down and kept it about head level and sprayed some guy's brains against the wall before they killed me. And I had the blood pack on, like the realism pack. And so it was like,
oh yeah, because they had like high poly models and stuff. So like when there's blood splatters in the wall, it like there's lots of pixels.
Yeah. So I was pretty sure that I had killed someone.
All right. Well, we probably should wrap things up. We're at the hour. We'll go with famous last words, starting with Joe.
Killing the doctors at the end of The Last of Us is some of the satisfying moments you'll ever have in a video game.
Alex?
I'm going to end this with my favorite quote I heard from anybody playing my game at the con. I don't know why, but this is fun. It's just heartwarming.
You know what? I think that's a huge compliment. I really do. Cause
it's like, I don't know why, but I'm attracted to you. It's like, it's kind of the one hand hurts your self-esteem, but it's like, okay, I'll take it.
Here. Right. Alex, your game is unconventionally fun.
It's the Steve Buscemi of games.
I think Ted and I will just go check out Blade Runner. Like before our next podcast. So how about you, Ted?
Yep.
Blade Runner. And Joe. Mm-hmm. John Wick 2. It's a fun action movie. But meh.
Whatever.
Hell yeah. What? No, it's not a meh. It's great.
Magical.
Meh.
Did you watch John Wick 1?
Meh.
What?
I had a big talk about how the reason why you can excuse the high body count is because he's killing Russians in that. If you kill Russians, you get a hall pass.
Oh,
Russians don't count as people.
You can kill famous like five last words. Russians.
Russians don't count as people.
Exactly.
Ah.
If you disagree.
Yeah.
Meh.
Yeah.